Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ask Me Levice. This is Lacey, and I have someone here. Dakota, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Of course I'm here.
And I got my producer slash guest host today.
Yay.
Whichever title he wants to go by at the moment.
I finally get to guest host one of these things.
Look at you go. You're just not behind the scenes
now.
I've
gone full circle.
Well, everybody, this is the end of February, and February is the National Suicide Awareness Month. And so this episode is dedicated to suicide awareness, and so that's what our topic that we're going to be talking about tonight. Sorry it took to the end of February for us to do it. However, we've been looking at different platforms because Blog Talk kind of changed a few things, but after Dakota decided to send some hasty and wordy emails, they decided to offer us a discount and have us back. So.
Yes. They seemed really friendly about it,
wrong.
Too. No, you're completely right on that, and that's about it.
Well, I really like doing suicide awareness because it's just not talked about enough. Having just 1 month a year to dedicate it to that is not enough, especially with our suicide rates going up and younger ages as well as older ages.
I know this is going to sound messed up right now, but isn't it messed up to have Suicide Awareness Month the same month as Valentine's Day?
It's crazy, but sadly, it's actually good to have it at the same time because usually suicide rates go up during February, so because of
Valentine's I was about to say, you'd think, like, the rates would be up higher, but, like, it's a good thing to be, like, poking it, you know?
Actually, I think the reason they got it out there is mostly because they're giving you resources and stuff to do instead of actually killing yourself, which is a sad thing, and that's very blunt, but that's what it is.
Right.
I've
had family members do it, so, you know, I've seen it firsthand.
Sadly, I think... I think when I looked at statistically, it said everybody, 75% of our nation has witnessed suicide in their actual family and their intermediate family. That's the word I'm trying to find. And that is crazy. But sadly,
well, altogether,
it's true.
Altogether, I know three people who's committed suicide. There might be a fourth one, but they're not for sure if it was suicide or accidental.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's some craziness out there.
Yeah. So this episode, we're just going to talk about talk about it. I know it's a taboo and a lot of – and very uncomfortable because no one wants to ask the hard questions lead to that.
I have a question for you about it.
Go ahead.
What is your opinion on suicide? I mean, like, you know how some people are like, oh, they're, you know, that's the pussy way out or, you know, shit like that. What is your opinion on it?
I believe people self-medicate in different ways, and especially with mental health. And mental health ties into suicide more than anything else. People think that they just wake up and do it one day, but sadly it's not. It's a fight that they fight constantly. Something that's been on their mind for a long time. The sad thing is that suicide, usually that thought where they don't have their coping skills or whatever, they just wake up one day and they're impulsive and they do it. I don't believe it's the quote-unquote pussy way out or anything like that. Suicide, like what we're talking about right now, and suicide awareness, it's a disease. I think people misunderstand suicide and, like, because the word suicide bombers, does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Right.
They kind of put all that together, and it's actually quite separate because that's, even though we call them suicide bombers because they know that their lives are going to end, it's not the same as somebody committing suicide. Suicide bombers believe it's a belief that they're going to be rewarded for what they do and that they're doing it to be proud and all that mess. And I'm not saying that against anybody or anything, but that's what they believe. And suicide is not that way for traditional suicide. That's not the way they're actually trying to find a way out because they're struggling, they're in pain, totally different. They're not doing it to be rewarded. They're doing it to get away from the pain that they're in. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your experience with suicide.
Which
your
one
family.
Do you want to hear the, my family one?
Whichever
well,
one.
Back in 2012, well, I guess I'll just start from the beginning of that day when I found out, you know, that way I can set the emotion here on this. My cousin the night before, or the night he did it, I mean, the night before we all found out about it, he tried to call me, my other cousin, and another family member, and I missed his call. Well, I take it we all did, because he tried to call me. It was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was asleep at that point. And you know, I missed his call and everything like that. Well, I woke up the next day, probably about 8 or 9, and you know, I'm going about my day. Everything seemed fine. About 30 minutes later, I get a phone call at the house, and it's my uncle crying. And if anybody knows my uncle, he's a mechanic, like one of those, like, manly men, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was gone, right? And I knew something was up. And he was like, you know, like, what's wrong? And he was like, we found Craig, which is my cousin, hanging off the back of an RV. And when he first said it, in my mind, I was, like, hanging off the back of an RV, like, what, somebody's driving an RV, and he's, like, hanging onto the back of it, you know, or something.
Right.
And in my mind, that's what I was like, you know, like, oh, would he fall off or something, you know, like, okay. And they're like, he's like, no, we had, you know, like, we found him hanging, like, he hung himself. Well, I get off the phone then, and I went up to San Diego where it happened at, because where I was lived at in Yuma was about 3 hours away. So by the time I got there, you know, they already had the body down and everything of that nature. But the bad thing about it was my uncle had to be the one to cut him down. The cops wouldn't do it or nothing like that. And, you know, and, like, they even left the rope hanging off the back of it. And when I say back of an RV, people are like, well, I've seen backs of RVs. How do you hang yourself off of one? This had the leather that goes up to the top of it. And, and what they think happened is they think he was going to do it. And because I guess the way the body was or whatever, that he tried to – I guess what happened was he was going to do it, and then I guess he hesitated or something and ended up either falling or doing it or whatever. Well, long story short, you know, he hung himself. Well, I'm up there for all that, and I can just see the emotions within the family. You know, between, like, my grandpa and grandma and my aunts and stuff like that. And without getting into too much detail about this part, I'm not going to lie, that experience, some of the stuff that happened during it, it did put a wedge in the family with some people. Like, I haven't talked to my grandma and my aunts in almost 10 years over it, it's been about 10 years now going on it. Because it'd be 10 years next month since he did it. And, and I haven't talked to my grandma or my aunts about anything since then, because when we were up there, you know, I was still in that, like, I was grieving, but, like, I saw how everybody else was, and I told myself I need to be the bigger man and be there for them, and I can grieve later.
Right.
And I tried to be there for them, and they, the best way to put it is, I don't know how to say this without, but they don't like me, I guess is the best way of putting it. And I, without getting into too much detail, they pretty much told me I wasn't family to them and stuff, which they were going through some emotion, so I was not trying to take it to heart during it. But, you know, during all that, I was trying to get it up. But where I messed up at personally was I should have grieved with everybody else, but I wanted to be there for them and grieve later about it that I had nobody there for me.
Right.
And
well, here,
when I finally like grieved myself, I was going through some emotions because, okay, like, you know, day one, you're sad. Like, you're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. You day two, you're like, why the fuck would you do this to me, man? Like, why? Like, in day three, you're just like, well, you know, and you're going through these, like, emotions, like, oh, my God, I could have been there for him more. You know, I could have did this. I could have tried this. Times he's called me, want me to hang out with him, and I was like, I can't right now. I should have, you know. It was just all this shit going through my mind, you know. And, you know, I even thought back to when we were kids, and I was like, man, you know, was I a bad cousin? Could I have been a better big cousin than him? Maybe I could have did something to change, you know, like, I went through all these emotions. Sorry if my voice gets rattly, guys. I'm not going to lie. I do have a few tears coming out right now.
It's okay. Hey, that's one thing I want to talk about on this show tonight is that suicide affects more than just the person that actually took their lives. It's an actual community when it happens. The sad thing is the person that took their life didn't realize they had these mental people when they were living. And the reason that is because in the society that we live in, suicide is such a taboo and uncomfortable topic that no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to ask about it. That usually results in everyone avoiding the words like depression, anxiety, unstable, moody, unmotivated, failure, pressure, unaccepted, flawed, anger, misunderstandings, you know, et cetera. This has resulted in a lot of mental health stigmas worldwide. And trust me, I'm happy that we have a Mental Health Awareness Month and a Suicide Awareness Month where we spread love and posts and things on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you know, blah, blah. Don't get me wrong, I think that's amazing. However, there's 11 other months in the year, and that's where other people feel they're left out. They don't, nobody understands them. You kept talking about emotions, and this is something where we need to understand how our emotions and feelings guide us in our everyday life. It's time that we're comfortable with who we are, and by avoiding talking about stuff like this, or avoiding all those emotions, and eventually it hits us in our, you know, when we're vulnerable. Or
like the hardest thing to me during it was, and like I was saying, the cops, when they cut him down, they just cut the rope, you know, by where his neck area and stuff. They'd left it hanging, right, off the back of the RV. Well, my uncle couldn't bring himself to do it. I wasn't going to ask my grandpa and them to do it. So I was like, you know what, I'll take the rope down, guys. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, Lacey, I've told you my background on a few things, and you know kind of like how I was raised and some shit I was brought up into, sort of. And my emotions, I hide them really well, and I'm harder with some of my shit.
Right.
But that was probably the hardest thing I've ever done was untie that rope. Because it was just one of those things I was just like, I got to do it.
Right. And another thing is, in your mind, you weren't really letting it sink in that he was dead and that he'd done that, but actually touching that rope that you were admitting that it was done and it actually happened. You know?
And the reason behind it all, it's so shitty, fucked up story behind the whole situation too. Like, for him to you know, kill himself like that over what happened, what happened was he got this girl pregnant, and the girl was being like the baby was already born, right?
Right.
And everything. Hold on, guys. My dogs are going to be barking. Give me 1 second. But the baby was already born, everything like that. And what happened was the chick got pissed off at him one night and was like, no, that's not your kid. It's, you know, it's so-and-so's kid or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
And he took it way to heart, like way, way to heart. And truthfully, I don't know if he knew maybe it was so-and-so's kid or whatever the situation is. Because his son, yeah. Like his son is like my uncle, you know, that's his grandkid, shit like that. Hold on 1 second. I'll continue on 1 second, guys. Be right back.
It's all good. While he's away, I'm going to go ahead and continue here with some of the findings that I like to talk about sometimes, and that's the statistics, especially since our COVID pandemic. And usually you've seen suicide rates skyrocket around high school ages, like 14 to 16. And then your early young adults, it skyrockets there too, and then middle ages. And sadly, during 2020, when COVID hit and the pandemic, our statistics for our younger youth actually increased. Now, instead of it being the norm around 14 to 16 years old, now it's dropped down to 10 to 12, being really high now.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys.
You're good. I was talking about statistics about how young kids are now to commit suicide, and our statistics now since COVID-19, they've dropped down from 14 to 16 being the highest to 10 to 12 years old now.
And that's so crazy to even think of that.
I know. And the sad thing is now our economy the way it is, they want our kids to grow up so fast, they're not able to be kids anymore. And now you're seeing them at like 10, 12 years old. They're trying to act like young adults, and they don't know how. They haven't been able to be kids for a while.
And the bad thing about that is, you know what I blame about that, about the kids that young acting like young adults? Any kids show nowadays, any Disney or Nickelodeon kid show, there's no parents in them, and the kids be like 11, 12 years old, and they have jobs.
Right. Or the fact
that
TV is such a big thing in their childhood now. I can't tell you how many times that we had outside time. Like, we played outside. And it'll be me and my brother.
Growing up,
I didn't have
TV because we didn't have cable, or if we did have TV, it picked up 2 channels.
Right, or just a few channels at that, but it's usually it was only a certain. We couldn't pause our TV either. We had commercials.
No.
Shocker.
Pausing?
Yeah, what's that, man?
I still don't pause my shit.
We were able to, you know, we lived a different life when we were kids, and it seems like it's been 1,000 years ago. I'm 30 years old. You know, me talking about when I was 10 years old and talking to a 10-year-old now, he would think there was 100 years between us.
I agree with that. When I was 10, I was out playing on my bike, throwing rocks at my friend, like, you know, having rocks fights, you know, just normal 10-year-old shit, playing football
and
in the backyard.
And now
stuff
when
like
you're
that.
Like 10, 12, there's the pressure of you having to know what your sexual identity is. What the crap? Like, what happened to the awkward years where you were just shy to be around other people? Like, that's, well, you know, like, or they still had cooties at that point in time. Now you're telling me, like, at 10 years old, these kids know whether they're transgender, gay, lesbian, pangender, all these other terms, they all know them now, and they know them by definition, and they're 10 years old. Like,
what the fuck's a pangender? Somebody that
kid.
Like pans?
Is
a pangender somebody that's into, like, skillets and pans and stuff? Or what?
No, no, pangender is, like, fluid gender. They like boys,
and girls. Got you.
So it's just,
so
there's all the
can we call that the Loki gender?
At that age, you know? They don't know how to handle that yet. They barely know how to, you know, make friends. And they don't even know what emotions are at that time. And they just, they they don't know how to express themselves and let everything bottle up.
Shit,
like little
I'm 32. I'm 32 years old, and I still don't know emotions and how to express myself sometimes.
I mean, you know, yeah, and imagine having that all in the mind of young teenagers or kids before they're even a teenager. So eventually they're going to burst. And the sad thing is suicide happens usually someone that commits suicide. They don't 100% plan it out or anything. It's something that's very rash, very right then, and if they do it within the first 30 minutes of thought, that's usually when it's committed instead of being talked out of it or stuff like that. And it's very impulsive. It's not something they don't really want to die. They just think that they need to for everything to end, you know. I'm going to tell a little bit about myself, and it's a little different than you, which I have witnessed and had multiple family deaths to suicide, but I'm going to talk about survival of suicide, and I'm going to talk about it from first experience. When I was young, I had a lot of death in my family, a lot of sickness. By the time I was 6 years old, I had attempted suicide twice. I didn't know, I guess, I didn't know how to let the people that I loved that much at that young of an age go. I was 3 years old when I had my first death in the family that I was really close with. It was my grandfather. And then I lost a few family members along the way. And then my popsy, he was my grandfather on my mother's side. He didn't even get up in the mornings without me crossing the street to wake him up. And he wouldn't take his medicine or anything like that. He had emphysema. And he was picked up by the ambulances at least once a week, but they always brought him back. And one time they didn't, you know, he passed away. And the very next month, my father fell from a ladder and broke his back working, and he was permanently disabled due to some mess-ups with surgery, because it was new surgeries back then, and he was permanently disabled and in the hospital for almost a year, and then when he come home, he kept going back into the hospital, and I was worried he was never going to come back, and the only thing I knew I could control at that time was eating, and so I just stopped. I didn't eat, and I thought, you know, if the pain that I had, like I would wake up in panic attacks and stuff like that, that if I just stopped eating and God would just take me home, I would be with the people that I loved. I was 6 years old. I had to have my colon manually started twice. That's a very painful, painful thing. It took me a long time. People are like, you were 6 years old and you tried to do that. And then when I see these young kids now, they're too young. They're never too young to think about somebody else and to worry and to think that, you know, the pain, getting away from the pain is a medicine. Like at that point in time, you're not thinking about it actually being, because you watch cartoons and stuff and they die, when they come back, everything's normal, you know. That's the mindset that you have. I really don't think they're sitting there thinking that they don't think about their loved ones or anything. I don't think it's very selfish or anything, because at that point in time, you're not thinking of the people that are still here. You're thinking about the ones that aren't. Does that make sense, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. And like I was saying, some of the emotions I was going through there, and that in my mind was like, okay, that's so selfish of him to do that. But then I was thinking, it's selfish of me to make it about me, you know, being like, okay, that was selfish of him.
Right. And sadly, it's just that's the emotions you got to go through to handle it, because this is something that, you know, there's no right answer to give. I know growing up after stuff like that, going through experiences like that, I ended up having to go to anger management, because I would just let everything pile up and, yeah, I know me, going to anger management. everything would pile up, and I would just blow up at the last thing, because I never could function with everybody dying and it just never sat right with me. There were, the emotions never did sit right. And so after going to therapy and stuff like that, I realized that's something that I wanted to do with my life, and it never changed. Growing up, a lot of times you think of what you want to be when you're a kid, and it changes a thousand times. Like when you were 5 years old, do you know what you wanted to be when you grew up, Dakota?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. My phone keeps going in and out.
I said, when you were 5 years old, do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up?
A Power Ranger?
A Power Ranger. See, 5, 6, 7 years old, after like going to therapy and stuff, I wanted to be a therapist. That's just something I always wanted to do, or something to help people, because I knew how it felt, and I knew
that
I didn't know how
lot.
To express. Huh?
That explains a lot.
Yeah, and it never changed. I thought it would change. There was a point in time where I was like, yes, I'm going to be a therapist, but I might be a writer too, you know, stuff like that come and go. But the actual intent of wanting to help someone, that stayed with me. But I think suicide awareness is something where we need to be aware that everybody at one point in time in their life has thought about it. They don't like to talk about it, but they've thought about it. And the people that actually go through with it or attempt, it's impulsive. It's something, things that pile up and they don't talk about it. Usually the people that have the most hard times grasping why someone committed suicide is because they've had those thoughts, but they were able to go get past those thoughts a lot easier than someone else. And they don't understand why other people aren't able to. Or why they didn't think that they could get over it, you know, or get past it. One of the biggest things in the United States why our suicide rates are so high is due to bullying, even adult bullying.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, you're fine, you're fine. I was just saying that people talk in their studies that about suicide where a lot, 99% of these somewhere had bullying in their past, either in their homes growing up or school or both, or even in their job settings as young adults or middle-aged adults. Somewhere in their past, there's where they've been bullied at one point in time. And that's a sad, sad thing to hear as well, because you think when you get older, that kind of stuff you grow out of. But sadly,
right.
It's just a different environment, and it continues.
Well, see, the suicides I don't understand would be like Robin Williams, for example. The man was, you know, famous star and everything like that, but he still had those, doubts in his mind about everything. So, I mean, it ain't just
ones that are the ones that struggle and hurt the most are the ones that want to take care of everybody else because they don't want people to feel the way that they feel. And
right.
He was one of those men who went above and beyond to make someone smile and laugh. Because he knew how it felt. After he committed suicide, they came out about how he was diagnosed with a painful disease, and he was dying of it. And he had already struggled mentally with, they said, depression in most of his life. And so you add that on top of it, he didn't think he had much left. And sadly, he was impulsive in that moment and took his own life. You know, it's just...
See, I was told by a wise man when I first was like, I want to get into stand-up comedy. And
mm-hmm.
Once I got old enough, I was always wanting to do comedy, but I was probably 15 or so about this time. And when I told this guy that he was a local comic that, you know, didn't make it big, but he was, you know, a local comic there. And he straight up tells me, he's like, anybody who does stand-up, they have some kind of mental issues with them for them to be up here, to be able to do this. And I believe he's right with it, because if you think all the great comics, for example, like some of the great ones, most of them have committed suicide or overdose.
suicide, overdose.
Yeah, I kind of count overdose into that a little bit because sometimes they don't mean to do it, and then sometimes they do mean to do it.
Right, right. And that's why I think suicide is one of those where I think everybody with mental health that don't have they don't go to therapy and they self-medicate. They don't take their own, you know, prescribed medicine. They prescribe medicine themselves with alcohol and drugs. Okay? stop it. But, I mean, like, you know, overly.
Shane. Oh, shit. Oh, I got the sneezes.
Oh, Shane. The butt poppers. Anyway, if you ever have a sad moment, just think of that. Anyway, they self-medicate, and you know, sadly, suicide is the most lethal self-medication that there is. You know, there's no coming back from that. And when you're in that mind state, you know, you just want whatever's going on to stop. You know, there's different things that lead you to suicide, different reasonings, different things that happen. But at the end result, you just want whatever's going on to stop.
Makes sense.
It's impulsive.
I mean, yeah, it's
like
at the time you're not thinking about it, and you don't think about how it affects everybody else either.
No, because in that moment in time, you can't see anyone else. You think that you're all by yourself. Nothing's going to get better.
For example, my cousin, now his son's growing up without a dad because what he did, you know? And
right.
Now when I look back at things and talk about it, yeah, like I said, you know, getting into detail about stuff, it teared me up a little bit. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say that. I don't know if I've let it go. Is that the right word? Because I still have a couple hard feelings about it. And, you know, not long ago, one of our recent friends, or one of our neutral friends, I mean, recently said he was going to do that, and it kind of, yeah. And you know how I sort of got butthurt towards him about that just because it made me go through some of those emotions.
And I think because everybody, if you haven't noticed, you try to take care of everybody, but also you don't like thinking of that being the last result, you know. And when it does, you're so invested in it because you want to make sure they feel good and you want to make sure that they're happy, that you're angry because you're like, you could have talked to me instead. And
right.
That's okay. That's part of grieving. A lot of people don't understand grieving is different for everybody. And one of the biggest things for me, I know, is that I think I could do more every time. Like if I had a friend recently in December and I might tear up talking about it because we're really close and grew up together. And, you know, we talked about everything. We took care of everybody. And it's almost like somebody, if they called you now and told you that Lacey committed suicide, what would you say? Like,
I would be in a bad state or state of shock at first because I know you personally, like, and like I know how you think, you know, about shit sometimes. So
right,
in my mind,
and like,
you know, like, where did this come from?
That was the same way I felt, like this friend and me were too, and I was completely taken away because we've talked about hard things in the past, really hard things. And we've come through them, you know, and not once did this person show any signs like that this is going to be what he was going to do when he was going to wake up one day or go before he goes to bed, you know, or anything like that, that he was going to take his own life. No one would have thought because his biggest treasures in life was making people smile and laugh, and he took care of people, you know. You never would have thought that this
person.
But like
what you were saying earlier, the ones that do that are the ones that have the biggest issues they're hiding.
Yeah, they don't want people to feel the way that they're feeling at that moment. You know, they never want anyone to feel that low. And usually that's, like you said, sadly, that's the people in comedy. That's usually why they get in it. You know, they know how bad it could be, and they want to make some people laugh along the way instead of having to suffer the way that they have suffered through things. But that's just talking about some
That's why I always told myself when I got into comedy, I'm not in it for the money. That's, don't get me wrong, that's all perks, you know what I mean? Money, fame.
Yeah.
That's all perks of comedy. I'm in it to make people laugh. And if I can make one person laugh, I did my job in comedy. And that's just the way I see it. And, yeah, and like you were saying, a lot of comics, yeah, we do have that mindset where it's like, it's hard to explain. It's one of those things that's hard to explain at all.
Well, there was something I found when I was studying on statistics and stuff, because I do that from time to time. I have a background.
You do research for the show? No.
Yeah. I always do, even for y'all shows. Just keep y'all on track, remember? I have a...
By now, you do realize you're pretty much the third co-host of that show, right?
I know. Like, I come on to keep them from people, just so you know, I go on the Degenerate Duo, just to make sure that they don't get off too far off topic and they stay on topic. Now I'm ended up being on the show as a third co-host because I do all the research. Sometimes Dakota does, but Shane, not so much. But, you know.
My research involves me smoking a joint and typing things in on YouTube.
Before the show, usually.
Yeah,
but
I did about 3 minutes before the show starts. Sometimes
I did do some
show.
Research across this clip that I'd like to read real quick, and it's like, it's not girly, childish, or pointless to talk about emotions and feelings. We have had mockery, we've made mockery out of emotions. Take our phone conversations or internet interactions, for example. We are no longer open and honest with how we feel in the moment. Instead, we use an emoji. It's overlooked, laughed at, or challenged with another emoji. Did you know that the reason that you have multiple emoji faces to choose from is because we have multiple emotions that we feel? And it goes on to say, emotions are how we express ourselves. If we don't express how we feel, we tend to bottle it all up, and that type of force builds until it can no longer be contained inside ourselves, and we burst. That burst is a warning sign, kind of like a red exclamation mark that appears with a message on the computer warning you that you have a virus or that your computer is about to crash. Usually in those instances, you only have one or two options to fix the computer problem. Most of us are not that computer illiterate and take a computer to specialists. The computer is swept, monitored, sometimes rebuilt, and then returned to us as fixed. And it goes on to say, how amazing would it be to carry that analogy, that concept to our everyday lives if we were able to address our mental health as a running program in our body, the computer. When we burst and we took it to a specialist, say a doctor, a therapist, an understanding friend, our mind could be swept, monitored, and sometimes rebuilt and renewed, allowing us to return to our lives as refreshed, renewed, and ready to face the next adventure. That's a wonderful concept to think about.
Right.
However, we ignore usually warning signs because we never want to think the worst of someone. So a lot of times we overlook some of the signs that we get. I apologize. My cat has decided to climb on top of my head. Okay. This is what we get for doing shows from home. Anyways, continuing. it's just... Sorry, I had got lost there. She also
we
deleted
are in
my
the
page.
Studio, the studio apartments, live from the
yes,
studio apartments.
Anyways, you know, we can't freeze and take all this out. Anyways, you get all the live stuff, everything that happens during the show. anyways,
that's,
I was saying
what makes the show
we tend to ignore those signs and stuff when we just go, you know, we just keep going on about our everyday life. And that's usually when we blow up or, you know, we get so far gone that we refuse assistance later on when other people start noticing at that point in time. And bada-bing, bada-boom.
Right.
I
now,
know.
Go ahead. I'm
we
sorry.
Live in a very
I keep interrupting you tonight, and I feel bad for this.
No, no, go ahead. Do it. That's what it's for. Come on in, friend. What you got?
I didn't forget. I was listening to the We Were Leaving a Bible Belt, and I was like, oh, cool. She's going to say something.
Yeah. Also, some of our wording is delayed, apparently. And, yeah, we live in a Bible Belt society. We live in Tennessee, okay, in case you can't tell that over our accents. Or Dakota hasn't got his accent back yet because he's from Arizona.
I was about to say, I don't think I have an accent. So.
He does.
I get told all the time I don't have one. Y'all?
It's not he's texting somebody, he's writing them. He's writing them messages.
That's
his Arizona coming out,
like,
you know.
Like, is it Messenger, if I write you on Twitter, Messenger, or a text message, it's all, I'm just writing messages.
Yep.
To me,
it's all
the same. I'm just, yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, I was writing, and I'm like, writing, or you were texting? You know what I mean. No, but anyways, you know, getting off topic. I'm here trying to get myself back on topic. We live in a Bible Belt
society. Stay on topic.
Society.
As the producer of this show, you better stay on topic. We got 18 minutes left.
Again, I'm going to say this over again. We live in a Bible Belt society, so it's hard to talk about suicide and what leads us to that, because a lot of young teen suicides is where they're trying to find themselves, they're trying to find their sexual identities, they're trying to find their what their likes or dislikes are, their own opinions. You know, a lot of, in this area, there's not a lot of places you can have just your individual opinions without somebody else telling you their opinions and what your opinion should be. That being said, I love where I'm from. I swear I do. I'm not saying that's everywhere. I'm just saying that we live in the southern little hemisphere over here where, sadly, suicide rates are higher than other places. And it's usually because we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to talk to one another. And mental health is kind of swept under the rug. So not only do you have all this other stuff going on, anxiety and depression, you have mental illness that no one wants to really talk about, like, for example, bipolar or anxiety disorder or schizophrenia or schizoaffective or you know, things like this. We just don't talk about it very much. And I know had a wonderful experience working as a crisis responder for mental health for 2 years. You see some crazy stuff, and you think that things end when you get to a certain age and it doesn't carry on past your life, like anxiety, depression, and self-medicating with drugs. But when you see a 90-year-old person who has almost OD'd on heroin and you're called in to make sure they didn't attempt suicide, you're like, you're 90 years old and you're doing this still? And you lived, you know? It's amazing because it spreads out. Your mind can't even wrap around the ideas of someone. You know, eventually you think you grow out of it, just like you would grow out of being shy, or you grow out of, you know, being mean or a bully in school. You know, it's just, you don't grow out of some things. And mental health is one of those.
Right. Now, have you, should we let them know about the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline?
We
and
have
the number for that,
and
everything?
I am actually pulling up the information now because they have changed or something somehow.
I have the number up right now, and it is 1-800-273-8255, and that is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. They are open 24/7. You know, 24 hours, 24/7, English, Spanish, any language you need help in, just call. They help you guys out.
Please,
if you guys
want to
call me, I'll help you guys out. I mean, shit.
Yeah, if you just need someone to talk to, this hotline that you call. It's not just you calling and you're actively trying to attempt suicide. This is where you can call and talk to people if you're just having the minor thoughts and you can't get them to leave, or you're just having a bad day and you need to talk it out so it doesn't get that far, or, you know, it doesn't have to be you're actually thinking about at this moment in time that you're going to kill yourself or hurt someone else. This is, you know, this is for prevention before it even gets there.
Right. And don't hesitate, people. Like, if you're having issues or anything, don't hesitate, especially nowadays. Because if you just hold it all in nowadays, it's not going to get better. The world's already depressing enough.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I am privileged to be able to help people is that I have this page now where you can reach me and ask me a lot. You can ask me questions privately. You can come on the show at any time. Call in if you like. You can do stuff on the page or just through the website. And if you don't want to talk to me and you want to talk to somebody closer to your age or you want something like that, we can find somebody for you. The good thing is to remember that you're not...
If you want to talk to somebody super sexy named Dakota, I'll be here for you guys. Trust me. I'll even make you laugh by the end of it. I will personally go out and buy you a McDouble, eat it with you, and make you laugh by the end of the whole conversation. So if you need help with anything, feel free to hit me up. I'm here for you guys.
There's another area that we really haven't addressed much, and that's no one knows how to talk about how we're feeling that we are less or that we don't belong and like we're not here or the world would be a better place or you want to be able to talk to somebody without feeling the others judge you and treat you like you have a plague or you're a problem or you're a bad influence. You know, this is more common than you believe or that you've been told. It's just that we don't talk about it very much, like I said earlier before, because, you know, it's kind of a taboo subject.
Very, very taboo subject on certain things. And, like, that's why when I ask that question, like, what's your opinion on it? It's because I've heard other people's opinions before, and some of them be like, oh, this person committed suicide. That's the wussy way out of this. And it's like, you don't know what they were going through, man. Like,
you don't know. Sad thing. That's like, it's all lumped into one. Okay. That's why I made the comment earlier. There's people who believe that that's the most selfish thing that you could do, or it's all the people that you left behind. You've hurt all these people and blah, blah, blah. You're not thinking about that in the moment in time, actually. I've had to read more suicide letters than I've ever wanted to in my entire life, even though that entitles five of them. You know, that's just five too many. You're not thinking about in that moment in time leaving others behind or whatever. You're thinking you're helping those people by taking, you feel like you're such in a bad place that you're a problem and that you're hindering them and holding them back from things, and you're actually thinking you're helping someone when you're in that situation. You know, it's not always
right.
About selfish. It's most of the time it's about wanting the pain to stop.
Really, though, truthfully, when you said that right now about they're thinking this and they're thinking that, really they're not thinking, if you think about it. They are thinking, but they're not thinking. Yeah, they're not thinking nowhere near clearly at that time for them to do that.
Right. Let's see. That's pretty much what I had to go over tonight. I just kind of wanted to touch base a little bit since it was Suicide Awareness Month and to go over that number again, which is, Dakota, would you repeat it?
Yes, ma'am. It is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. They're open 24/7, and that is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you speak English, Spanish, Canadian, Japanese, whatever language you speak, man, call it. They will help you out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, They're there to help you. We're here to help you.
And I will post this number on my page and on the site for Roasting the World. That way, if you guys need the number, you know, feel free to go there to get it. Or feel free, if you guys are having any problems, write us. We will try our hardest to help you guys out with anything like that. You guys are just having a bad day and just want to laugh, I'm here for you. If you guys are having a bad day and need to talk to somebody, you got Lacey. You having a bad day and want to take drugs, we got Shane. So, I mean, we got you. I got you covered, people. So if you guys are having those bad days out there, come to us. We got you guys.
And to remember that laughter truly is the best medicine.
And that's
really
why I added little jokes into this tonight, guys. All joking aside,
this is
going to be a serious episode. And like you said, it's
and
a hard topic, a serious episode. I had to bring my magic to the mix a little bit on it.
And we're not just saying that those are the only things that can cure anything. I know that I have a strong faith. Not everybody believes the way that I do. Not everybody believes the way Dakota does. Not everybody believes the same. However, you know, there's different ways in life to get through things like this, and having a strong support system is amazing. It's the first thing that you need. And that's the strong support system. It's called a system, but that doesn't mean it has to be like 5-10 people. It can be one good person that you call and talk to about things, and they talk to you about things. It's just a functioning friendship that works. Therefore, the system.
Right.
Sometimes I like to be smart, but it's not really. We will continue on our next show, which I'm going to go ahead and start talking about a little bit. We're going to stay with Blog Talk Radio for a little while. Since they've decided to beg us to stay. So I would like to start getting back on to regularly doing shows. Is that how you pronounce that word? Because I was having some trouble there, ma'am.
You asked me how to pronounce words, right? You asked the wrong person, you.
I know. As he says, writing people when he's texting them. Anyways, we'd like to try to do this at least once a week, if not every other week. And it's different topics each night. It's just even if you need to ask advice, if I don't know advice, I'll bring on somebody. Sometimes Dakota, maybe. Sometimes Shane or anybody. It could be somebody you haven't even heard before.
Logan also has a background in counseling, too. So
he does. He really does. Yes. He's actually really, you know, he can be very humorous like we are on our shows, but he has a serious side, too. He can actually turn it on and off a lot easier than others. Me sometimes. I'm usually more serious, and you have to get into the comedy part.
I try not to take everything too serious, but you know me. I can be serious when needed, but I try to be the one that keeps the humor in things.
Yes, and then I just live my life, ladies and gentlemen. I am a walking, talking comedy show, just because.
You get hit by one car in a parking lot.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to tell this story, and that will be the end of the show. You're living life every day. You're thinking, you know, you got everything together. And, for example, the other day, it's not true. It happens all the time. It's a face that you put on. Nobody has everything together. I showed up to work after having no power that morning and getting ready for work. I grabbed the wrong leggings, and these leggings were my stretchy ones that I wear around the house and don't have an elastic in them or anything like that. So they were falling down, and I had to clothespin them to my shirt just to keep them on for the rest of the day because I kept losing my pants in residence rooms. So, I mean, you know. Comedy in your life. You can either cry about it like I do sometimes in the corner, or you can laugh about it.
Uh,
Or Dakota can tell you how a picnic table flipped on me one time, just eating lunch and going down a hill, and almost dying, or getting stuck in a bathroom. But anyways.
Oh man.
Nothing in life is going to be perfect, and if you learn that sooner rather than later. Having laughter and getting you through life, it's a lot calmer, it's a lot more enjoyable, it's brighter. Though we do still cry at times.
Right. Right. It's healthy, guys. It's healthy.
Yeah, but anyways, if you would just repeat that number one more time for us.
Yes, ma'am. And that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 1-800-273-8255. Call 24/7, guys. Like I said, any language, they will help you guys out. And yeah, maybe we can bring these numbers down, you know. So let's do that, guys. Us as a whole need to work on everything together.
Yeah. And you guys, thank you for tuning in to us tonight for another episode of Ask Me Levi's. Thanks, Dakota, for coming on and being the comic relief and Ashley for waiting with us in different ways. And I hope everyone tunes in next week. I won't have an actual date until maybe Monday or Tuesday, but I'll post it on my Facebook page. But I hope y'all reach out to us if you need us, and we'll have a new topic posted, and I hope to hear from y'all soon and to have our show next week that somebody may call in for or at least leave questions for. But thanks for tuning in.
And if anybody does ever want to call in, guys, the call-in number for the show is 516-387-1831. Y'all call in. We also got live chats during the show. And I just the other day figured out how to do all that. So, you know, we'll have that up maybe next time. So if you guys don't want to call in, you know, live chat us or something, you know. Well, if you guys have issues or anything, we'll be here for you guys on it all. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to take, like, the last minute of the show over for just a split second.
Do it.
Like she was saying earlier, we're going to be sticking around with Blog Talk for a little bit, guys. The way everything's going to be going on now is there's going to be three main shows. And then every now and then I'll be doing a Dakota show, maybe, you know, to hype up the main shows or something in between. But the three main shows are going to be, since Lacey is now one of the main hosts of the show, I don't think it's a degenerate duo anymore, but pretty sure it's going to be, you know, just Roasting the World is going to be one of the main shows, and that's going to be pretty much all of it. And then you got Lacey's show, which is Ask Me Levi's, which, you know, every now and then she'll have one of us guest star on there. Wink, wink, happy face. and then you got mine and Logan's new show, which is going to be making its debut this Tuesday, March 1st, and it is called The Stash. And it's going to be about anything pot, I'm just saying. So if you got any marijuana questions, throw them our way. You want to tell us how you grow your pot, throw it our way. You want to send us some pictures of some pot, send it our way. If you want to send me some pot, I'll smoke it. But anyways, that's pretty much it, guys. Lacey, I'm going to let you take back over to your show. The little voice came on my end and said, 90 seconds. So I'll let you take it over from here. End your show, my dear.
I just want to, again, thank y'all for tuning in, and we appreciate you. And we're here for you. And if you need us, please reach out to us on our website, on our Facebook page, or even call in at the call-in number that he had said before, which is, I believe, 516-387-1831, I believe.
Correct.
Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Look at me go. You guys, he still has to send me the number for me to call in, so it's okay.
Yeah,
I was just about to say,
you remember it right then, but I have to send it to you to call in every time?
Every time. So, you know, we will post it. But, again, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll hear from you next time. Bye.